Today on Seculo, Chinese espionage. The FBI uncovers Chinese spy plot right here in the United States of America.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start off the broadcast right away on China. And Rick Rennell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. In our second half hour, Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. We're talking about two related issues with China, but there's actual legislation moving through Congress right now to do something about our dependence on Chinese production, specifically when it comes to the chips in your cell phones and the semiconductors. And it's legislation that has been bipartisan in support, but certainly has not gotten all Republican support. But Secretary Pompeo has endorsed moving forward with it and the compromise legislation. So we'll talk about that. But the latest news, CNN had the exclusive on this, is that since 2017, it's a long time now, federal officials have been investigating Chinese, surprise, surprise, this is the big news all over the country every day, Chinese land purchases in the U.S. near critical infrastructure, including military sites. In the Huawei equipment that was put atop cell phone towers, guess what? They had spy capabilities. And the FBI actually put forward, this happened mostly in the rural Midwest near U.S. military bases. We can actually put up on the screen for people so they can see what we're talking about here. First, the Warren Air Force military base, that has been specifically targeted. That's in Wyoming. But second, here, let's show this silo versus cell tower. There you go. There's a missile silo. So we're talking about, this is where our nuclear weapons come out of, like our real nuclear, big nuclear weapons. There's the cell phone tower there, able to triangulate. This, again, the FBI determined they were capable of capturing and disrupting, quote, highly restricted Defense Department communications, including those used by U.S. Strategic Command, which oversees our nuclear arsenal.
At the same time, U.S. counterintelligence official began digging in on all of this, as we are as well. They found a lot of issues. There was going to be this Chinese garden at the National Arboretum in Washington, D.C. Now, this sounds really innocent. The pagoda that was going to be put up would have been strategically placed on one of the highest points of Washington, D.C.'s, just 2 miles. Do we have that? 2 miles from the nation's, from the U.S. Capitol. It would be deemed our counterintelligence said, a perfect spot for signal intelligence collection. Multiple sources told this to CNN. Now, our ACLJ team is on this. We've been on it with the situation in North Dakota. We've been talking about it with Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, for over a year. Now the rest of the country is catching on to the threat of China on this very issue of counterintelligence capabilities. I mean, they want to put in North Dakota, they're looking at putting farmland purchases next to one of our most sensitive aerospace bases. And Colonel Wes Smith was talking about that on the program last week.
Yeah, 400 acres there, thousands of acres in Texas. Sometimes these are large purchases. Sometimes these are strategic purposes. And as we've seen through the cell towers, sometimes it's not a purchase at all. All it takes is a small device on a cell tower. There's been a lot of debate about Huawei. But remember, internationally, a major player, whether you like it or not. And so, and these phones.
One of the biggest.
So, I think we all know that decoupling from China is going to take time. But I think it's something we have to start. And we really have not started. We have got to start. This is not like cutting off Russian oil and gas for 6 months or a year. This is a major process about bringing a high-tech manufacturing back to the United States and other countries that are our actual allies, not strategic adversaries that we have to have, we have to tiptoe around whether our Speaker of the House can go to Taiwan or not. And you see the U.S. military freaking out about that. Are they being too cautious? We're talking about all of this today on the broadcast. Rick Rennell joining us next. Then Mike Pompeo, second half hour. So we've got full coverage of it. We want to take your calls too. 1-800-684-3110. Have you seen this in your community in the Midwest? 1-800-684-3110. Be right back. back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-31. Today we're joined by our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, Rick Rennell. Rick, we just heard a news report for people who watch our broadcast, but I want to say this for people who are listening. The FCC mandated that the cell phone companies start taking down this Huawei technology that's on these cell towers that has enabled the Chinese government to spy on our most strategic assets, including the U.S. Strategic Command, which oversees our nuclear weapons arsenal. And one of the reports on Fox News is that they haven't completed this because they were $3 billion short. I mean, now, Rick, at a time when we spend billions and billions on legislation, we don't even know where it's going half the time. I mean, that happens. If you're $3 billion short to get the Chinese tech off of your cell towers, you would think that would be something that would be more urgent in the United States of America.
Look, this goes back to something, Jordan, that we've talked a lot about, which is the whole Russia, Russia, Russia narrative, the collusion hoax, is really what the Chinese wants American politicians and American governments to do. They have been able to get away with climbing into our systems because the press and the Democrats have literally been saying, don't look at China, look at Russia. The Trump administration tried to do this. When I was ambassador, when I was DNI, we were screaming about what the Chinese were doing. The CNN exclusive, that's not an exclusive. We knew that during the Trump administration. They just didn't pay attention until now.
You know, Rick, one of the aspects of it, I mentioned this earlier in the first segment of the broadcast, but you've got the FBI started a counterintelligence investigation. And I'm not complaining. I think that was a good thing to do because it was, again, it was the situation where the equipment was being put in. In this particular situation, the Chinese government was offering to spend $100 million to build a Chinese garden at the National Arboretum in Washington. Those of us that know Washington know where that is, beautiful area. But they were going to put temples, pavilions, and a 70-foot white pagoda. The project was, you know, very enthusiastically endorsed by the government in Washington, D.C., more tourism. U.S. counterintelligence officials began digging into the details. They found a couple of red flags. Let me point them out. The pagoda, they noted, would have been strategically placed on one of the highest points in Washington, D.C., 2 miles from the U.S. Capitol, with the FBI determined would be a perfect spot for signal intelligence collection. Then, also alarming was, and you'll appreciate this because both being a diplomat and a head of DNI, also alarming was the Chinese officials wanted to build the pagoda with materials to the U.S. that were going to be sent and shipped via U.S. to the United States in diplomatic pouches, which U.S. custom officials then cannot, of course, look at, because of our international agreements and our treaty agreements with these parties. That's how they wanted to build it. This shows you the depth of what China will do to try to gather intelligence on the United States.
And let me be clear, this is the tip of the iceberg. If you were on the other side of seeing the intelligence, we have seen this for years. We've explained this to governments in Europe. I personally have explained this to the Germans. We have examples of what the Chinese were trying to do throughout Europe that we shared. Top secret security clearance information for only individuals with a top secret security clearance could get this information. We got approval to give it to some of our allies, and some of our allies didn't believe it, or were too far down the road with the Chinese products that they weren't able to kind of rip it out or pull it back, or they thought this was a real problem. They thought that they could institute some sort of program to stop the Chinese from doing what they wanted to do, and they were going to still take all of the hardware and software. And we said, no, they have a backdoor right into your system. If you try to stop them here, they're going to come in around this way. They created the technology. You're not going to be able to stop them. And so we tried during the Trump administration to some success, but there are certain governments in Europe that didn't listen that are now in a position of finding out that they were wrong. And we certainly have examples throughout the United States where local governments or governors fell for it, and we had to go in and try to stop them. I think the FBI is behind a little bit here. They should have been doing this years ago, years faster than what they have been doing. And yet we need more aggressive oversight. Politicians who get involved in these issues dig deep and then move quickly to try to stop it before it becomes part of a program that you can't rip out.
Yeah, I mean, right now you can rip out the Huawei from the cell towers. And some of that's been done, but it's not been completed. There are still active Huawei towers and the communication device by our military bases. I just want people to understand that. And these companies are saying, hey, you just didn't give it. You told us to go in and do this as a private company. And there's another example we put up on the screen, the Warren Air Force Base and all of the Huawei towers. Look at all of the ICBM capabilities right there. I mean, these are where our major nuclear weapons and security devices are. But I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-30, because there are some good questions about this, because you see DeSantis talking about this in Florida, is, hey, they're buying up all this land here, we need to do something about it. Adam in California has a question about, you know, kind of the starting point question here, which is a good one. Adam, welcome to Secul, you're on the air. Hey, Adam, you there? Doesn't look like he's there. You know, and he was going to ask, Rick, which is the bottom line is, Why is this something we have seen? Is this a pattern? The Chinese buying our land? Is this something new? I mean, it's finally getting people's attention. But is this something you saw as DNI? You saw as ambassador, or even going back further with your time at the UN, that they're coming here and buying land, trying to get around the safeguards that we have in place by buying kind of generic farmland that's not necessarily under U.S. review?
You know, this is why I've always said China is a crisis and Russia is a problem, but the entire political system focusing on just Russia, Russia, Russia is really doing Chinese bidding, because we've seen this slow creep from the Chinese for 20 years. They've little by little, they've gotten into Hollywood, into big tech, into our universities. They are buying up land. We've used these examples of where we personally, the United States government, has failed and allowed China to come in and build some of these cell towers, or we found ways that they creeped in and we didn't know. We've used these examples with the Europeans to say, don't do this, because we made the mistake. We've tried to be very clear. I think we've got to be much more aggressive, and our politicians in Washington need to educate themselves and catch up.
We've got a lot of calls coming in at 800-684-3110. Let's go to Tim in California. Tim, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What is the Biden administration going to do to stop Chinese espionage?
Yeah, there's the question of the day. I don't see much right now. The FBI, I will say, on this national garden they were going to build with counterintelligence capabilities, Rick, the FBI stopped that through a counterintelligence move. But the Biden administration doesn't seem to. It's a saying that they're not on top of this is an understatement.
Look, they first need to recognize that there's a problem, and they haven't even done that. Remember, they've denied that the Hunter Biden laptop, full of all sorts of information about China, Chinese businessmen, China policies, China getting close to the Biden administration, Biden team, Biden family. They've never even acknowledged this yet. And so before you figure out how to solve the problem, you got to know that there is a problem. We don't have a Biden family, a White House, focused on China because they don't think that it's a problem yet. I mean, we'll just look at Nancy Pelosi's trying to go to Taiwan. The Chinese are now freaking out. And who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to back down? Is the Speaker of the House going to not go to Taiwan simply because China has wagged their finger and said, don't do it? I certainly hope not.
Yeah, I mean, this is the bigger issue. I think it is freaking people out, because we're seeing it time and time again. I think it's something that we're just building on. People are just starting to learn about and take seriously the land purchases, what they're purchasing it for. There is legislation, we're going to talk about it later in the broadcast, on the CHIPS Act that's gotten bipartisan support. It's also, though, tried to be derailed because you know, this was the whole Pelosi's husband buying the $5 million. Though there's a lot of people at play here, and I think that's what gets people off China, and it's easier to focus on Russia as the bad guy.
Of course.
Because with China, you got legitimate businesses. They're not necessarily breaking the law because they're doing business back and forth. And then you've got, you do have safeguards in place, but you have to use them.
But here's the thing. China has intervened in our universities. They've infiltrated the university system. They have infiltrated congressional offices. I think of Eric Swalwell's office, where they've infiltrated congressional offices. They are trying to infiltrate Washington, D.C. in counterintelligence capabilities. Rick, we only got 40 seconds. This threat is real, and we have to be on top of it.
I want to give people a little piece of good news, though. Your government, your intelligence agencies know this. The problem is with the politicians at the local, state, and federal level. They've got to educate themselves, and you've got to demand that they focus on China.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
It is not just a federal issue. A lot of times what China's doing is going to local governments, just like they try to do in D.C., which is a bigger scale example, try to say, yeah, we want to do this for you. In North Dakota, we'll build you a pipeline, but you got to let us give us this land by the Air Force Base. Be right back on Secular, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. Secular. Now, we're going to jump back to China in the second half hour of the broadcast, and specifically legislation moving through. It's been supported by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who, of course, is Senior Counsel for Global Affairs with us. We're going to talk about the CHIPS legislation and some of, again, this espionage that we are uncovering and is being made public by federal officials. I think where Rick Rendell is right is that this is not purely a federal issue. You can't just rely on the federal government here. Your local governments are oftentimes seeing the money that the Chinese are coming to the table with for your community, and they are forgetting who they're dealing with. They're forgetting to look and see who actually owns this Chinese subsidiary company in the U.S. Oh, it's a company using slave labor. Oh, it's a company using, forced labor. And they're using forced labor by Muslims in Western China. So we're going to be talking about that. We're not off that. If you're calling in about it, continue your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But we wanted to update you. Letter we just sent, because you have the Biden administration, one of their tactics in their fight against life and against the decision in the Dobbs case is to target. We had on representatives from pro-life pregnancy centers early on. They are being targeted directly by the federal government. Okay. We've seen it targeted by cities. We've seen them targeted by states. Now it is the U.S. government.
Federal government, of course, that's in addition to being targeted by these groups like Jane's Revenge. So there was this executive order on protecting access to reproductive health services, which really, again, was targeting pregnancy resource centers, crisis pregnancy centers. And it's interesting because the HHS secretary, Javier Becerra, was the one individual we sued as the state attorney general in California when we represented crisis pregnancy centers at the Supreme Court of the United States, because under Becerra's regime, they were requiring a crisis pregnancy, pro-life crisis pregnancy center, to refer for abortions. Now, we won that at the Supreme Court, but he's now the HHS secretary. So our team went to work. We wanted to get on record, because it's part of a multi-pronged process, to get on record exactly what we're doing. So, Cece, we sent a letter to Secretary Becerra just today.
Yes. Yeah, so part of Biden's executive order was that the secretary would send him a report within 30 days. So as we promised, we were going to send a letter to Secretary Becerra before that report was due to the president, pointing out the potential problems with recommending anything against that would go against crisis pregnancy centers, because within the executive order, they specifically asked the secretary to consider options to address deceptive or fraudulent practices related to reproductive health care services, including online, and to protect access to accurate information. And we know for a fact, because we've been litigating these cases, like you said, in cities, in counties, in states, and now with the federal government, that this is the exact language that they use when they want to target pregnancy resource centers. So we sent this letter just reminding Secretary Becerra of the cases that have come up against this before and that we have won, and saying that we're going to watch this very closely and we will represent those pregnancy resource centers if there is a need.
You know, I think that, again, what we have to be clear about is that we think there is going to be a need. We've seen it at the city level, at the state level, and now what their idea is, and it's how they even, their starting point is so nasty. Consider options to address deceptive or fraudulent practice related to reproductive health care services, including online, and to protect access to accurate information. I think what people don't understand about the pro-life practices, they don't hide that they're pro-life. They are pro-life pregnancy centers. They are usually across the street from abortion clinics or right around the corner. They are the alternative. Just like there's all sorts of alternatives you can decide from with medicine and other options, this is the same kind of issue. And they provide a lot longer services than people think. It's not just don't have an abortion, here's an ultrasound, go. If you want, they provide, and if you have the financial need, they provide financial needs. They will try to find, if you need adoption, they will start that process for you, setting that process up for you. If you want to keep your child, they do all sorts of, again, work with you from beginning throughout. Not just, it's not done when the pregnancy is done. Parenting class. I mean, the list goes on and on. And they're providing these services in communities in need. That's why, if they weren't effective, they wouldn't be issuing executive orders about them.
They're incredibly effective, and we have litigated Living Well Medical Clinic versus Becerra. We won at the Supreme Court of the United States the importance of what these centers do and what services they provide. Now, the Biden administration, and then you got senators like Elizabeth Warren saying we must, they're not hiding this. Senator Warren saying we must put these crisis pregnancy centers out of existence. Close them. They're not. She's not hiding this, Cece. She's being very direct.
She literally is on record saying we must shut them down, and not just in Massachusetts, but all over the United States. And you see, you know, the attorney general from New York and other liberal states saying to Google, you have to stop when someone searches for an abortion. You have to stop these. And they say fake clinics. That's what they call these crisis pregnancy centers, because they try to just defame them and smear them. And it's because, again, they're on the front lines. They're the ones that are actually making a difference in this fight for life. They're the ones that allow women, just exactly like Jordan said, they give them actually the informed consent. They give them options that they are looking for. They let them see their babies on an ultrasound, and that's exactly what the pro-abortion agenda does not want to have happen.
Let's be clear here, and we put this in our letter. I want to read this. The ACLJ finds the language of the executive order directing action to be taken regarding, quote, deceptive or fraudulent practices of great concern, not only because of current and extremely charged political rhetoric, but also because of the history of pro-abortion government, when you have pro-abortion leading governments have on government overreach. But they specifically said deceptive or fraudulent practices. That's what they're trying to get to in labeling these crisis pregnancy centers. So then you can have the Federal Trade Commission, the HHS as well, on top of this, and even DOJ.
Right. And we see that, again, New York is trying the same kind of language, trying to shut crisis pregnancy centers down, framing them as deceptive, fake clinics, not giving accurate information, which is exactly the opposite of what happens. They give accurate information. They give options. They give hope. They give choices. Unlike Planned Parenthood, which the only choice you can make is abortion. So they're not fake clinics. They give accurate information, but they get attacked every single time because they're on the front lines and they're doing a good job protecting life.
You know what, folks, I think too, what you have to understand and underscore is they are trying to limit the argument. This goes back to the big argument, which is, you know, I mean, Kamala Harris was saying this yesterday in his speech. Women, you know, this is a crisis because women are getting pregnant today. And they don't want us as the pro-life community, because they will often go on media that's friendly to them, the abortion industry, which is most media, and say, you know, the problem is you're going to have all these kids and no one's going to be helping. Except for there's an extensive network of organizations that have been set up for decades to do this work. It's ready to go. There is not going to be a crisis. In fact, you can do a lot more by shifting some money that goes to Planned Parenthood that doesn't do any of these services to pro-life pregnancy centers. But of course, they don't want to do that. But understand, this is the number one argument response back to the pro-abortion community. When they say there's no one there to take care of the kids, and we've been on the front lines battling for these organizations, and it's disgusting that we have to battle for their existence. But we do. And now they've got the federal government after them. They got the DOJ, the FBI, they've got HHS and the Biden White House. So we need to support our work at the ACLJ. We've got our matching challenge right now. Donate today, aclj.org. Second half hour coming up.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. And former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on our team at the ACLJ. He's going to be joining us, too.
Good time to share this feed with your friends on social media.
Yes, it is, because there is actually legislation. This is, you know, surprise, surprise, bipartisan, getting some bipartisan support. Certainly more support from Democrats than Republicans, but good friends of ours are on both sides of this. Secretary Pompeo has come out and endorsed the legislation. It's called the CHIPS Act. We're going to break that down for you with him when he joins us in the next segment of the broadcast. I think it's very important, because this whole idea with China, I mean, it's absurd when they say, oh, they're $3 billion short. They can't take down the rest of the Huawei tech towers, cell phone towers that are spying on our military bases. You know, go figure that out in our budget. There's $3 billion somewhere, and go get it done. I mean, the fact that that is happening today, that we know the Chinese are using cell phone towers through Huawei to spy on our U.S. military bases. Put the screen back up. Put the picture back up of the cell phone towers next to the military base right there. I mean, this is Huawei's coverage area.
You should describe
that's it. That's all of our ICBMs. Those dots are ICBM facilities.
So you have about 40 dots of ICBM
facilities.
That's
the big nuclear weapons.
The biggest nuclear weapons. And then you got right next to it where they proposed to put the towers.
Yeah, and then another two right by the Air Force Base, which is a little outside of where the ICBMs are located.
So this shows you a real problem. We got calls coming on this 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take it.
Yeah,
one.
Justin's calling from Texas Online One. Hey, Justin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, God bless you and Jay. I appreciate everything y'all
thanks,
do.
Thanks.
I'm here in Texas, and it's happening here also. I just read the other day there was 140-something thousand acres purchased right here from the Chinese Communist Party. It's happening in Oklahoma, just north of us over there. And for us to just sit here and kind of be oblivious to us, it just blows my mind. And listen, I live in a rural community in North Texas, and we are getting propositioned daily for some of our big landowners over here to sell, and they're all Chinese owned. Guys, I mean, if we can't see the writing on the wall, I don't know what more we can do.
Writing on the wall.
They're actually implementing a strategy which they have done in third world countries and developing world countries. And we've seen this throughout Africa where, you know what, you look at some of these countries, they own none of their own ports. They own little of their land, none of their infrastructure. It's all owned by the Chinese. So you could turn around, and like you said, it's small towns, small communities, but this goes from everything from a cell phone tower, which is a dot, to 400 acres, to 100,000 acres. A lot of this is happening up from Texas north, you know, you were seeing this in Midwest where there is a lot of land. And these companies are owned. If you go back at these companies, so they all have a U.S. subsidiary front, but all of them are owned by either an official with direct ties to their intelligence or an official with direct ties to their defense. Now, so this is like their Politburo. This is the top leadership of the Chinese Communist Party buying plots of land. And it's not about what they're using the land for, whether they're growing things, whether they are utilizing it still for wheat. They are doing it to strategically, one, own our resources. That's one thing. So they're responsible for our food supply, but two, get close to military bases. We have a lot of them, and a lot of them are in these rural is a word. I don't even know rural is the right word. Zones where it's
way
kind
out of the way.
Yeah, in the middle, kind of nowhere, where we have put our most sensitive assets, which are the world-ending nuclear weapons.
So the FBI in counterintelligence was able to shut the one project down. There are dozens that are now up in the air and being found out. I want to tell you what we're doing at the ACLJ. ACLJ Action is involved in this. ACLJ Legal is involved in this. And we're putting together a very comprehensive plan. And we're working on it now. It's not just coming together. We're working on it. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan, this is exactly the reason. These are complex issues, folks. The most complex issues. It's international issues. It's foreign policy. It's domestic policy. It's counterintelligence. But the ACLJ is poised to handle it. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Support our work. ACLJ.org. We have our matching challenge through the month of July. Donate today. That's ACLJ.org. When we come back, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. All right, welcome back to Secular. We're joined now by former Secretary of State, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I want to go right to this. Last week, we discussed the threat of these Chinese companies. It's starting to make more and more news, buying up land in the U.S. near U.S. military bases. CNN now has new reporting out about the proximity of Huawei equipment on cell phone towers to, in the Midwest, specifically to some of our most heightened assets, like our ICBM locations, intercontinental ballistic missile locations, in the Midwest. Some of this equipment, Secretary Pompeo, is still up and running. Now, I kind of like you to explain for people, when the U.S. government says that this equipment can capture and disrupt highly restrictive DOD communications, including those used by U.S. Strategic Command, which oversees nuclear. What exactly does that mean?
Jordan, what the Chinese Communist Party has been working on is to put their conducting semiconductors, their equipment, their receivers, their transistors, all the tools that they need to both listen to communications from American military installations here, right inside the United States, in places like Kansas, North Dakota, Colorado, to be able to listen to those communications, and then when the moment is right, to not only have captured that data, but be able to either block those transmissions or to use the information which they've learned to their military advantage. We're dumb to have allowed this to happen. It was hopelessly naive to say, well, this was cheap technology. Let's put it on our cell phone towers. It was cheap, right? It was inexpensive. For whoever bought it, they got it for nearly free. But remember, if it's free as the customer, they're figuring out how to generate something for it. And what they're generating is their own national security, and they're putting ours at risk. And we ought to make sure that there's no Chinese equipment on any cell tower in the United States, most importantly, in places where we have military assets, military installations to protect our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our most important national security secrets as well.
You tweeted, Mike, they're, quote, they're inside the gate. Huawei equals Chinese spies. Ban Huawei and take this threat seriously. Now, your policies as Secretary of State were aggressive in combating Chinese espionage, including shutting down that Houston consulate. Have the Chinese made gains now under this administration? Because they don't seem to be taking the threat seriously.
Jay, the language the administration has used has been good. Their efforts have been subpar. They haven't been sufficient. The only thing the Chinese understand is real action, real power, right? You can talk about closing a consulate, but until you do it, there's no impact. And I couldn't tell you precisely how much gain they have made, but I am confident that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't believe the Biden administration has the same aggressiveness, the same focus, the same edge that we had for our 4 years. This matters to every American all across. I use this term inside the gates very intentionally because it is all around us right here. We think about China and we think about long places away, but the truth of the matter is, it's in our neighborhoods, it's in our schools, it's on our military installations, it's in our universities and research institutions. It is around us, and the Biden administration has to take the real steps to push this back. It is hard. We began this in the Trump administration during my time. There's an awful lot of work that remains to be done. We didn't get it finished either. We need to continue down this path. This shouldn't be partisan. This should be about America.
You know, it's interesting because I remember early on when you first joined us, we started talking about the Chinese had infiltrated the university systems and private and public universities. They got their people internships at the United States Congress with members of Congress. And so their aggressiveness in this is very serious.
And very organized and very deep and huge. It's hard to grasp, right? When you have a country that has 4.5 times the population of the United States, this is a big operation, and they are deep and thoughtful and strategic, whether that's at the university system level or our research institutions, or even just coming to school board meetings inside the United States just to be there and make friends. It's an effort. It's a propaganda effort. They call it the Chinese United Front Department, UFD. This organization has real intentions to change the way Americans live, but we can fix it. It is not destiny, but it takes political leadership and will and focus and leaders of courage at every level, from the president to county commissioners and school board members.
We know local governments are important, Secretary Pompeo, but there is legislation right now. I think this is important to point out. I saw your tweet over the week, and I wanted to kind of reinforce this, because it's unusual right now in Washington to have bipartisan legislation. I think it's getting Republican support. I think there's some Republicans concerned about the amount of money being spent, but it's the CHIPS Act. And you tweeted, "I urge members of Congress to pass the CHIPS Act. The cost of compromise on this bill pales in comparison to the cost we will suffer if we allow the Chinese Communist Party to one day own and control access to our most critical technologies." This legislation has to do with everything from the chips in our phones to the chips in F-35s, but it's about bringing that manufacturing back to the United States. Why on this issue should the American people be willing to compromise with the Democrats? Because, I mean, I get it, but I think that people need to understand.
No, Jordan, it's the right question. Look, there's been a lot of stuff hung onto this piece of legislation. It's called the CHIPS Act, and I think everyone could see that this was really important. It was likely to pass, and so they threw some stuff on there that you and I would stare at and say, that is not helpful and productive. We ought to go try and push as much of that off. And then tomorrow, after we pass the CHIPS Act, we ought to try and get rid of it. But for the moment, we have this window of opportunity. We no longer make the most sophisticated semiconductors that matter. They matter for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. I was a soldier once. I drove an M1 tank. Today, many of those vehicles have Chinese technology in them. You can be sure that when push comes to shove, that technology won't work for us when it matters the most. We should pass this. We should onshore this technology. We've talked about supply chains an awful lot. The CHIPS Act will provide the incentives so that there'll be big semiconductor wafer manufacturing technology back in the United States in places like Ohio and Texas and Arizona. There are already companies prepared to come build and to train Americans to get to build back. This is the center of American manufacturing and technology. The CHIPS Act is the right step at the right time, and I hope we'll get every Democrat and every Republican to say we should step forward and do this, and we should do it right now. It's on the Senate floor today. It'll probably be on the House floor before the House later this week. I hope everyone will say this is the right thing for American national security, and we'll get after it.
Yeah, it is not just about our cell phones. It is not just about our cars. I mean, Secretary Pompeo said F-35s, tanks,
yeah,
and then you're reliant on them to keep those systems operating.
I mean, the danger.
The Chinese, who can then just press the off button whenever they want.
Well, this is the great risk that we take as a country with continued dependence upon China. And I was thinking back, Mike, to during your administration and your time as Secretary of State and your time as CIA director. These kind of bold moves were met with aggressive opposition. In fact, they oftentimes didn't make these bold moves because they knew the response was going to be so overwhelming. So I go back to the issue of, you know, what should the administration now be doing? It was good that the FBI caught the situation in the National Arboretum, where they were going to, you know, the Chinese government was spending $100 million for this so-called beautiful garden, but the pagoda happened to be the same height that was necessary to gather intelligence information in the 2 miles from the Capitol. And so that's what concerns me here, is they're being very aggressive and very creative.
I am laughing here only because, you know, it's no coincidence that they're at the same level. This is intentional. And it's going to take, I regret that Justice Department got rid of a program that we had begun with to go after Chinese spies, Chinese folks conducting espionage, Chinese conducting efforts against the United States. If Americans put our kids' lives at risk in the generations that follow, it's going to take aggressive, sharp action, smart leadership to get it right. We need to get semiconductors back. I don't know, we've all seen that, you know, Speaker Pelosi said she was going to go to Taiwan, and the Chinese say, well, we don't want her to come, and all of a sudden, Biden wilt. I must say that if you're the Australians, South Koreans, the Japanese, or Americans, you know, you can't do that. You can't fold in the face of mere threats. The Chinese understand power and strength and transparency, and we don't need to provoke them. We just need to defend the things that matter most here in the United States. And I don't know if you all saw the story. There was an espionage agent inside the New York Police Department that they found. They've now indicted him. These are the kinds of things that we're seeing at the local and state level that will matter an awful lot. And so it's going to take real leadership from Washington, D.C., the Justice Department, the FBI, the President of the United States to push back against this threat. And you got to bring the technology back. We can't be importing all this stuff that Chinese just dump on us and then get installed in our systems. And we spread them throughout America so the Chinese can hear every single thing we're saying or track our kids on TikTok. This stuff is all connected, Jay, and truly a threat to the way we live our lives here in America.
Secretary Mike Pompeo, of course, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs for the ACLJ. Thanks, as always, Mike, for your insights on this. Folks, I want to tell you something. You're not getting this kind of analysis anywhere else. You're not getting this kind of work anywhere else. It's not just what we're talking about. It's also what we're actually doing on this issue. And we have both the ACLJ and ACLJ Action working on this. Your support of the ACLJ right now, with just a few days left in our matching challenge for the month of July, this is a big month for us, folks. We're a little bit behind last year. It's critical. Jordan's going to let you know what to do. We encourage you to do it today.
Yeah, absolutely. You can support our work at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. I think the CHIPS Act is a perfect example of the ability for our work, because so many interests at play in that legislation. But you heard from Secretary Pompeo, get this done now. Start the process. Go back later and strip out the provisions you don't like. But we're talking about trying to bring this back to the United States. And you've got to subsidize some of that, because it's much cheaper for U.S. companies to do this overseas and rely on the Chinese. But do you want to rely on the Chinese for your technology in an F-35 or in a tank or on your phone or car? No. Support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Double your impact today with our matching challenge. China. So we want to get to one of those right off the bat. Gwen in Georgia on line one. I think a lot of people, they throw their heads up there and say, don't we have things in place? And there is a committee on foreign investments in the United States that could have stopped a lot of this Chinese property buying, but has not. But Gwen, welcome to Secul. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, cannot the government take the land back from the Chinese by eminent domain?
I mean, just using eminent domain probably doesn't work. I mean, you'd have to go through a process.
Yeah, and you have to...
These are U.S. Remember, they have these companies that are owned by China have U.S. subsidiaries that are U.S. companies.
And eminent domain is normally not the federal government. Eminent domain, Andy, is normally the local municipality. And they may not have the tax base, in other words, the money to actually do this.
Right. Eminent domain is a concept whereby a municipality or the federal government takes land for a public use that's private land and has to give just compensation for that.
But there has to be a public use requirement.
It's got to be for a public use. It cannot be taken for a private use. It's got to be for a public use. And as you pointed out, mainly these are what municipalities, counties, and states do.
Yeah, and finding a, you know, these are farmlands, so finding a public use, not so easy. All right, let's go to another matter, because the American Center for Law and Justice is also at work at the university level, because there is a real serious problem at the City Universities of New York, which is a big system in New York. And the anti-Semitism there, we got two lawyers from the ACLJ working on it. We've just sent a letter to the assistant, actually a complaint to the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights for the U.S. Department of Education. Andy, give a nutshell of what's at stake here and some of the outrageous anti-Semitic activities coming out of these City University of New York campuses, of which there are many.
Well, if you read this, you will be appalled, Jay, at the amount of anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish activity that is going and raging in the City University of New York system. I was looking at it reviewing it. The two lawyers that you mentioned had put it together and sent it to Washington for investigation and for a request that we cut off federal aid to these institutions. But some of the particularly egregious instances, and there's so many, I mean, they go back to 2013 and end in 2022 and are probably still going on today. But there was a party and they ordered pizza. And one of the girls who was Jewish said, is the pizza kosher? And they And the teacher looked over and said, we better get Rachel a non-kosher pizza. That wasn't her name, but it was a stereotypical attack on a Jewish name, Rachel. Kingsborough Community College former president Leon Goldstein, obviously Jewish, has his photo with an anti-Semitic graffiti written on it, kill the Zionists, and a strong word of profanity, which I won't repeat on the air, blank Trump. And then they had a forum to discuss anti-Semitic claims. And when did they schedule it, Jay? 8 o'clock on a Friday night, the eve of Shabbat, when they knew that Jewish students who were observant were not going to be there. And finally, again, this one, and again, it's not finally, it's just the one that I picked out. A Jewish professor is literally surrounded by a group who are imprisoning him and allowing him not to move, and they're hurling insults at him, and he tries to get out, and they say, we're not done, we're just starting, we're just starting. This is one of just a series. We go into 21 pages of this that is happening at the City University of New York and that we want the education department to look into.
We've got a blog up at ACLJ.org that says ACLJ files Title VI complaint against the City University of New York for anti-Semitic discrimination. Professor Harry Hutchinson, senior counsel for the ACLJ and director of policy, is with us. Harry, in an academic setting, you've been in that setting. And of course, this hasn't happened in the schools you've been affiliated with, but you read a lot of the academic journals. How serious is this very aggressive anti-Semitism on the university campuses?
It's very, very serious, Jay. It's an explosive problem. And it's important to keep in mind that the Jewish ethnic group has suffered and continues to suffer from a sustained pattern of oppression, if you will, that is approved by many universities and many university leaders. At the University, for instance, of Pennsylvania, they are now engaged in proceedings to take away the tenure of Amy Wax, who is a distinguished law professor. What was her offense? She took on critical race theory, and they are now suggesting that she is somehow, as a Jew, a Hitlerian figure. So we live
is
in
that
a
the wording they actually used?
Very, very similar, yes.
This is really outrageous.
It is. And so if we look at the City University of New York, it has experienced a sustained pattern of anti-Semitic behavior. And the university, in my judgment, based on my reading of the complaint, is complicit in that behavior. And the complaint and the letter that we have created sets forth in great detail what the university has done and what it has failed to do. And I think it's a very, very important case, and the ACLJ will continue to monitor the university's behavior.
You know, Andy brought up a few of the examples. We have all of this information for you, too. If you go to ACLJ.org, we got a new blog which has a link to the letter in it. The ACLJ files the Title VI complaint against the City University of New York for anti-Semitic discrimination. This is not one school, by the way. If you go on to the city of the website here, you see they run graduate schools, undergraduate programs all over New York City and the other boroughs in New York, law schools. I mean, so this is, again, people are a lot of times familiar with the state university system in New York. This is the city university system in New York. That it does include the City College of New York. But again, it involves multiple colleges, massive system. And you allow this to creep in to the system. While at the same time, you greenlight the Chinese influence. No problem there. All the professors take money from a communist party engaged in genocide.
Yeah, you can pick on the Jewish community. You can't pick on the Chinese community because, you know, that's viewed to be xenophobic. Andy, but the fact of the matter is we have taken concrete legal action. This is actually a complaint we filed, with Title VI complaint, with the Department of Education.
That is correct, Jay. It is a legal act. It is a legal act and a legal action that we are seeking, and we filed it with the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Education, outlining this repeated pattern of tactics, only four of which I mentioned, and they're pretty egregious in my estimation, designed to just attack Jewish students, to attack Zionism, to attack the idea of a Jewish state, to promote BDS and to do all the things that we abhor and that are so terrible in the history of the United States and of the world.
Harry, just in 15 seconds here, this, if we leave this unchecked, it gets worse.
Absolutely, and it has been getting worse over the last 10 to 15 years.
I'm telling you, folks, look what we've talked about today. We've talked about what's going on in China, ACLJ action, working on that situation as they are interfering with our national security. Then we talked about what the federal government's trying to do to crisis pro-life centers, crisis pregnancy centers, and we are on the forefront of that. We've already notified the HHS secretary. We're already looking at litigation. Already in place. Now you look at the situation right here with the anti-Semitism coming out of the City University of New York, and the ACLJ filed a complaint under Title VI. Your support of the ACLJ in our matching challenge campaign right now makes all the difference.
Absolutely. And we're about to launch our first ad campaign for pro-life post-ops legislation. It looks like we're going to be starting in Kansas, the first ad campaign. We partnered with Secretary Pompeo on that. ACLJ.org. Donate today.